Now, as usual, the fourth segment, do my weekly multiple listing sales update, track median home price sales weekly, year-to-date, current active inventory, all compared to last year's numbers. And fortunately, last year, about this time, I started tracking. What I'm doing today is the percentage of active listings that are in escrow, so we could kind of see different numbers. Very nice. Very nice, if I do say so myself. Call us at 564-1290, live call-in talk show, 564-1290. Also at RadioRealEstate.com, and also streaming at SantaBarbaraNewsPress.com? Yes. NewsPress.com. NewsPress.com. If you're at your desk and you don't feel like working, just go ahead and log in and put on your headset. Listen to me, and joined today by a fellow, Jim Downing, who I've known since 1988-89. We did a real estate transaction together. And Jim, now belly up to that mic there. You're too far away. I want you to wheel that right into you. Now, and we might have a caller to call in. I've got a couple of feelers out there at last minute to take more of a, I don't know, more of a governmental pro approach to eminent domain. Now, quite fortuitously, on Monday morning, we have a op-ed piece in the Santa Barbara News Press, which I cut out and then turned it over and realized I almost cut my picture in half. There's a beautiful ad of me on the back of the editorial. And there it is, today's topic. First of all, good morning. Today's topic, which is the eminent domain case, Senator Tom McClintock's California, one of many states right now reacting to a Supreme Court decision, Kelo versus the City of New London, a Connecticut case, where the high court upheld the use of eminent domain. And if we could slant the news a bit, we could say that they were stealing the property, private property. Right, Jim?
Absolutely. That's what we could say.
And Jim will actually be able to talk about it. He was in Washington, D.C. during the Supreme Court discussion. And we actually so that's the basic game plan for today. And if you have any opinions on this, we'll discuss it a little bit and maybe get a call in from a couple of bureaucrats to tell us why we shouldn't be so upset about eminent domain. So good morning, Jim. Welcome to Radio Real Estate.
Good morning. Actually, Marguerite and I had the pleasure of sitting in on a Supreme Court hearing. There were two cases being held, and they both dealt with kind of eminent domain situation.
One you say was
One of them was Kelo versus New London, Connecticut, and the other dealt actually with the state of Hawaii versus Chevron Oil Company.
Oh, okay. I remember that story. We'll have time for that story.
Good.
Let's talk about eminent domain. What was the genesis as you saw it and prompted you to go to Washington, D.C. and actually witness this?
Well, actually, I have to look back on it historically, because I've been involved in it and personally and in many different ways. I think my first experience was back in 1957 when we moved into our new house and we woke up in the morning to the sound of jackhammers. They were tearing up our sidewalk. So this is our first experience. Later, and actually going on right now in the city of Mentone, Caltrans is buying part of Marguerite's property there, which she inherited, 32 square feet of property along the street. They're paying $1,000 for this little piece of land. It's an ongoing process, and basically this is one of the things that's involved in this process.
Was this price of $1,000 mutually agreed upon, or did they say this is what you're taking?
Well, I think Marguerite and I kind of fell over when they offered us $1,000 for this small little piece of land. So we readily accepted it without asking for judicial review or going into an emotional upset about this thing. But as far as the Kelo case versus New London, I am absolutely flabbergasted that a community would do this to somebody. Actually, what they're doing is taking away their home, and they are not making a highway. They're not making a Dodger Stadium for the common good. Basically, what they're doing is they are giving it to one of these big box type of developments where it's a private developer. And I can imagine the emotional impact upon people to have their homes be taken away by the government, to be used for, well, to give to a private developer.
Not for the public good, not for a freeway or for something. I guess maybe someone would argue that maybe Dodger Stadium isn't for the public good, but admittedly, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, you know, would benefit from it.
Well, you have to look at other communities. Actually, I live in Goleta. And at the present time, there are things going on there which have an impact on this entire situation. For example, in Old Town Goleta, just a remarkable, nice place to live. But, hey, some people say this area is needs to be redeveloped. I've heard it said. I've gone to many, many meetings in which there is a thought of redeveloping this area. And I'd have to take a look at my own home. I have a nice little house here in Goleta, and we love it, but would we want someone to come along and take our home away for something of this type? It's an emotional, absolutely horrendous thing to have to do to somebody.
One of the other side of the coin that my good friend Marilyn, who is a city development planner head, planning mm-hmm. safety head, she's the counterpart to Paul Casey here in Santa Barbara down at Thousand Oaks. And something came up at the last minute. She had to go on site. She might squeeze in a cell phone call. Mm-hmm. But in the email, she said to me, talking about the initiative, Senator Tom McClintock here in California, but many states are reacting to this Kelo decision, wanting to prevent it from happening here.
I cannot see it happen in California. I mean, it's very difficult for you to visualize something that happened in Connecticut occurring in California, where so many citizens are really concerned about it and are taking all types of action to make sure that any proposal of this kind is given clear judicial review, community involvement, everybody being concerned.
Her take was that this process had been going on for a really long time. There had been reviews. This is the New London case. There had been committees. There had been discussions. And she made it sound like that they were just a couple of homeowners who really were holding out, preventing the city from creating tax revenue, which the city needed, taking away a blighted area, which the city wanted to improve. And it was just one, you know, made it sound like it was just a couple of holdouts.
Well, blight is a word which needs to be defined. One way to look at it is in terms of taxation. Take my little home in Goleta. It certainly does not provide enough property tax revenue to give the city, the county, the state what it needs to pay its expenses. Well, if you were to redevelop my little area in that regard, you could significantly increase the tax revenue. This is one way to look at a definition of the word blight. So blight could be defined as a word which means, hey, this place doesn't give us enough tax money, so let's do something to increase the revenue.
And the people who are a little outraged about this decision feel that that's exactly what they were doing. I mean, you know, they wanted to simply generate revenue. So she says, everybody thinks it's such a great idea to pass this ballot measure to keep government from taking houses, but there are benefits to eminent domain for communities as a whole. The League of California Cities is involved in that. In fact, he was last week's guest. Maybe that's him calling on my cell phone right now. I know it's Debbie again. Debbie, again, should I answer the call again? She keeps interrupting my program. You want to talk to her? Here, ask her what she wants. So the League of California Cities was on last week to talk about the housing element.
Yeah, I listened to the program.
Oh, you did?
I always listen to your programs. Not always. Sometimes I have a crisis and I can't do it.
So he's involved in that. So she's referencing the League of California Cities. He's the public relations district manager here. And so in certain cases, she says, it makes sense. The case in Connecticut was after they had prepared and adopted plans. The city was desperate to bring commercial life into the city. They had gone through years of public review and discourse. The property owners were the last holdouts who didn't want anything to ever change. There has to be a plan with public review, but I think the government has to have the ability to carry out the big picture.
This is called for the common good.
For the common good. So, you know, what if they were a couple of, you know, wild coots with barbed wire around their house and shotguns, and you were trying to put in a, you know, some Starbucks and latte and Home Depot? I mean, so where do you draw the line? Is it ever okay, just setting a bad precedent? Can't go there, can't do it once.
Hey, I have to admit I'm a Dodger fan, and I can clearly see the need for a Dodger Stadium. But how about the Foresters? I mean, they've been agitating for their own ballpark here in Santa Barbara area. Now, I know there's some nice land not too far from my place where perhaps just for the Foresters, we should buy that land and have our own ballpark right here in Santa Barbara.
And what's on the land now?
Well, just some lemon trees. Oh, yeah, there's Glen Annie Golf Course. How about that area for a wonderful... I could then walk to the ballpark.
I thought you were going to say that the few old ladies live there in a little nursing home, and we were just going to eliminate them for the Foresters. I thought there was going to be a little catch to your story.
Well, if they can't, if Glen Annie Golf Course holds out and doesn't want to have a golf course... Or have a ballpark there, they could go elsewhere, and that, of course, would be my yard and my neighbors and in my particular area. That's conceivable.
Pretty far-fetched,
but conceivable.
We're talking with Jim Downing. If you haven't read Monday's April 24th editorial on creative redevelopment, you must read it. It's the topic today. Eminent domain, your private property. Your house could be next. In fact, you know what's happening? Because of that case, Jim, I had a listing. And it was, it wasn't in such great shape. And we got an offer, and we refused to take the offer. So the guy went to the city to condemn the property so he could buy the house. And if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. Our phone number here is 564-1290, 564-1290. Eminent domain, your house could be next. Stay tuned.